It's another edition of Library Guys Go to the Movies. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Thanks for joining us. This is the December issue of Library Guys Go to the Movies. And in this episode, we will be talking about movie toys. Kind of holiday themed. What reminisce about what toys, our favorite movie toys we got at Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever other holidays or birthdays might occur in December or really just whenever. Joining me today is George Morrison. He is a children's librarian at the Delaware Branch, also a performer and absolutely a stand-up nice guy.
Oh, shucks.
So, George, when we talked about this subject, did you have any specific toys, memories that came to mind?
Absolutely, and it brought in a really interesting topic for me to ponder. But in 83, G.I. Joe, I think it was Hasbro off the top of my notes here, came out with the Sky Striker, and it was a jet. And right in 1986 is when Top Gun, the movie came out. Sweet. And so this toy had been out, and it was almost like a gold mine because it was, you know, it wasn't Top Gun themed, but just because it had a, you know, a fighter jet that was super, you know, military looking and awesome. So when 86 hit and that movie came out, and of course none of the kids my age saw it because we were too young to see it and inappropriateness, but we were like, hey, our parents love this movie Top Gun, awesome, you know, I want this toy. And I remember getting it and just being like, Maverick Goose, even though I'd never seen the movie in 1986, I remember getting the toy and just being like, yeah, storytelling adventures, whoa, so cool. And it had these swept wings, this little feature that the wings would go forward and back, and I just remember that being one of the coolest toys I had ever received. What about you, Luke?
So I thought pretty deeply about this, and I have some very specific memories. They're not exactly toys, but at Christmas of, I guess, what year did, I think 83, 84, 85, whenever Return of the Jedi came out, it may have only actually been advertised and not been out yet, but that particular Christmas, my mom knew I loved Star Wars, of course, like by this point, by Jedi. but she's also very practical, right? So because we're not the most wealthy family on the block. So she gets me a backpack, Return of the Jedi backpack, which I in fact still have and saved all these years so that I could walk to school that year by myself with my very fun and super sweet Return of the Jedi backpack, which I don't think any other kids had. So, you know, very nice. I also got, and I don't know if you remember these, underoos.
Oh, yeah.
So that was like a sleepwear set for children.
Oh, yeah.
And mine was for Luke Skywalker, which
yes,
sharing the name of Luke with the protagonist made me have a special affinity for him.
For sure.
But these were kind of really pretty generic in terms of the underoos, because most underoos would be like a superhero's costume. These were just kind of like beige and black. But the really cool thing was that it came with a certificate, I think actually just printed on the packaging, the cardboard packaging, that said, you are an official Jedi Knight, and it had a place for you to sign or write your name in there.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I loved that. And then I also got a Return of the Jedi baseball cap, which I just wore till it fell out off, I think. And along the school supplies, I'm thinking practical, I also got a Return of the Jedi lunchbox.
Of course.
They switched over from the metal to the plastic. But that was, at the time, you were like, oh, I got the cool plastic ones. Totally uncollectible now, the plastic ones, but I loved it. And at the time, I was very excited. There's other specific memories. I have real generic memories of Transformers, but not getting the actual Transformers.
Sure, GoBots, yay.
GoBots, or even the more generic that we would go and my mom would find at the Odd Lots or Big Lots store. But I still love them, and they transformed, so.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And I love the folklore and the history of Transformers and the how it's like an institution in Japan, but completely different from the U.S. culture.
U.S.
And That's one reference, the Toy Galaxy YouTube channel. If you're listening, check that out and dive into the history of toys and toy making. I know, Luke, you're a fan as well, but just the whole, the pantheon of GoBots and Transformers and how they're completely different from the U.S. culture or U.S. licensing for Transformers. It's really interesting to hear all that and see that. So that's definitely a future listen for fans out there.
Definitely. And I think there also is a Netflix show, series of episodes called The Toys That Made Us, which I would highly encourage you to check out.
I agree. Well, talking about our memories, but talking about the kids today too, about toys that are geared towards us, but the movies are totally inappropriate. I was looking at like Rambo and Predator when we were kids. Well, they did actually have a short-lived Rambo cartoon. But in essence, you're like, why would a 5 or 7 year old just be like, Rambo, and again, it was one of those things where those kids had never saw that movie. It's so embedded. Some of these movies are so embedded in our culture, that it's like myth. And even if you don't see it, you hear about it and think, oh, that's the cool thing. So
and
like,
you can take your toys and create your own movie in your mind. That was that was a lot of the appeal of action figures for boys. Yep. You know, I can't speak to how other people played or whatever, but that was, you could take, even have your G.I. Joes, right? And you have your G.I. Joes versus your Star Wars figures, or He-Man hulking over a tiny Destro or something and create it. It has nothing to do with either franchise or mixes
crossover
together.
Yeah, your own crossovers. Make them. And that's great storytelling. That's one I love, toys and creativity like that. And I do have a couple hot toy selections for this year. My number one for multi-age is, of course, the child from Mandalorian.
Oh, okay.
And I am encouraging the plush toy. Now, again, I am not sponsored by any of these companies, but I want the socio-emotional aspect of it, the toy value. The child is helpless, but also powerful in the story, you know, of the Mandalorian, where, a child can create their own stories. And even if they don't see the show, they see this adorable creature and they can have empathy for it because they feel similar to that, the child. It's young, it looks innocent, it's it seems so simple, but yet in the show, of course, he's got powers. He's got the Santa Claus Jedi power. By the way, sorry, Santa Claus is a Jedi, in my opinion. random, that's a discussion I had with my boys recently.
Definitely.
Santa Claus, Dad, is Santa Claus a Jedi? And I said, you know what, son, that just blew my mind, you said that. I love that play value where it's such a simple toy, but they can create adventures of their own, like we were talking about, and make their own stories. So that's like my hot toy, because it's like $24.99, the plush toy. And then there's like a super toy with Bluetooth that's, $90, whatever. But, go for the one that works more for you. But that's my hot toy. And then, of course, for kids under 4 years old, I always tell parents, my number one toy is colored wooden blocks.
Okay.
And there's wonderful science behind it where, the colors and the patterns, the shapes, and that physical manipulation of the toy blocks is wonderful for developing, social, emotionally, but also because, developing stories and making buildings and things. But there's patterns. There's, I put this block on top of this block on top of this block. You create something, and that's just like a word, A, B, C. You're learning letters, and they look different, but they have different purposes. So some blocks, wooden blocks, are curved. Oh, it's like, oh, I can't put a block on that one because it'll fall off. So they're trying, they're experimenting. And so those are one of my favorites, suggestions for early literacy toys that have nothing to do with letters, but they do have something to do with letters and learning a word. Those are my hot toys. I always suggest for sure.
Did you ever, were you into Masters of the Universe, He-Man?
Oh, yes.
I was really obsessed with He-Man, and I still have several of the action figures that haven't fallen apart. Nothing in the box. They're not collector's items. They're just Yeah. They're just around to bring up that memory.
Absolutely.
And I think last year or the year before, we put up, I have two He-Man action figures, and we put one of those as our star on our Christmas tree. So he was actually, that's just a little Christmas or holiday connection that I make there.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. I too had some of the generic He-Man, and that was the appeal of He-Man was so cool because it reminded me of, you know, how you can transform yourself into stories, like, you know, without, you know, the I have the power, you know, in his sword, he would transform and be something greater than, you know, himself. And that was something, you know, we kids are like, man, I feel so helpless. And, you know, all I have to do is say I have the power and I can do anything. So it was kind of this early mantra for a lot of folks out there saying, you know, hey, if I can do it. It was like
confidence building, really.
He-Man's a motivational speaker. Say it with me. You can imagine him with a mic at a conference going, say it with me, I have the power, you know. And oh man, it's, I don't know, I like to hyper analyze a lot of toys because you know, it shows their power and their importance to, you know, development in childhood for sure.
Really I do think about the storytelling involved that I would just do as a kid. I eventually had the Castle Grayskull.
Once
you have a playset of some sort, then it's, the world is open to you in terms of you creating your own episodes. Masters of the Universe, He-Man, She-Ra.
Oh, yes. Lion-O.
Thundercats.
And that one always blew my mind because he was like an adult, but in his mind, he was still a child.
Right.
And they kind of brushed on that. But I remember, I was like, wait a minute. He's a kid, but he's like an adult-sized person, like mentally. So that was, I thought that was always interesting.
They had some sort of where they were in hibernation, but their bodies continued to grow, but their minds were not.
Yes. Right. And he was still a kid, and I was like, whoa, that's responsibility. It's like you just got thrown under the bus. You're now an adult, but you're not. It's like, wow. And again, I hyperanalyze that going, boy, you know, a lot of kids, they get thrown under the bus like Lion-O did. Like they are all of a sudden, you know, with family changes and things like that, they have to take on responsibilities, you know, with, you know, if there's financial challenges in a family's life, or, you know, like, hey, you know, kids, you know, oh, I turned 16, I got to get a job to help out with the family. You know, it's like instantaneous, whoa, I just got thrown into adulthood. So that always made me think of that with that toy line and that story arcs that involved him still being a kid, but an adult at the same time. Good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
We are waxing philosophical here. I love it too.
I love it too. And if you watch the Toys That Made Us, or what was the YouTube channel for it as well?
Toy Galaxy. Really good. That's another great one.
You will get a lot of background to how the cartoons especially were created in those that had toy lines.
Yeah, and of course I do love within those shows there in many instances there is an altruistic goal. Yeah, they need to make money, but sometimes these shows were, you know, purposeful in their, you know, their goals, like, Captain Planet, other TV shows, you know, they really focused on, you know, educating children and, or bringing in, you know, diversity, you know, and having diverse casts and breaking, you know, gender roles and, you know, having powerful female characters. So in so many ways, you know, that was very influential to our generation and others too, and currently as well. So, you know, toys are important, you know, for children to see, you know, in their alternate realities, to see an altruistic reality of that they can kind of aim for in the future and encourage in their own lives. So that's something really cool to see. Even today, I see that as well.
Definitely. A lot of learning goes on, both watching the content and then interacting with the toys. And
yep, and then there's lawn darts.
there's lawn darts.
Well, that reminded me, I was thinking about that. There's the CPSC.gov. I had to throw this out there. The Consumer Product Safety Commission, CPSC.gov, they do toy recalls and they post a lot of safety videos. And of course, they were some of the organizations behind lawn dart being, you know, being banned as, you know, products aimed at children. But that's a great resource. And then, you know what I get a lot is toy evaluation, toy values. And there's actually a database at DelawareLibrary.com DelawareLibrary.org, DelawareLibrary.org, DelawareLibrary.org. It's called P4A. It's called P4A. I think it's Prices for Antiques. They have a whole toy section. It's completely searchable. I'm a big model train guy and toy train guy, and I just searched Lionel Trains, and they had 4,000 hits. So they've got a lot of evaluations. Yeah, and that's one thing about toys, and you and I know this, but some folks might not. You know, everyone has like, oh, I had this toy. It's still in the box. It's from, you know, this year. It's got to be valuable. And they're like, they're spending all this time, and then they find out it's worth $4. You know, it's right. Like, oh, and I always like to tell folks when they're like, oh, I've got all these toys. It's got to be worth thousands. And I always like to say, as a librarian, I have to just be mindful to, you know, adjust your expectations that it might not be valuable.
Right.
You know, I don't want to build, you know, the percentages of toys that are super valued, you know, in the thousands is so minute, you know, unless you're looking for that Boba Fett that with the missile launcher.
Missile-firing Boba Fett.
Which is, there's super rarities. But that's one thing with toys that, you know, the value that I see is more intrinsic. It's more personal value. You know, I've got things that, you know, I've got that I've shared memories with my boys, and I'm like, this is valuable to me. But, you know, as far as money value, it's probably not there. But the value there is so wonderful to keep or to pass on to family or friends. It's pretty cool. So, you know, is there something, do you have a toy that you still have, another one, maybe another toy that you still have that you've kept onto that you'd be like, this has a value to me? Is there something else that you would put on that list, Blue?
The lunchbox that I got is I still have that. I really do value that.
You still have that. That's awesome.
I do still have that. I do not have the thermos that goes in it.
Oh, no. Those always disappear.
Yeah. And I've often thought of going to eBay and buying the thermos. But in a way, it's like, this is not a collector's item. It's just for my sentimental value.
Yeah.
So not having it is kind of like, that's mine because I was the person that lost it at some point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Sure. I had a toy that was missing a leg, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to throw it away. I think it's cool. Now his storyline is he lost the leg.
Lost the leg, right.
Yeah, you know, and that's, no, for sure. Yeah, those little marks, those little, you know, put Andy on the bottom of the boot, you know, you put the name. That's your object, your adventures are still there in that toy, for sure.
So most of the stuff that I still have and still collect are things like that. They're not in the box. I have a few collector type in the box.
Oh, sure.
I don't probably ever expect to actually sell. Mm-hmm. I used to have a Luke Skywalker action figure, and I had it it was the only one I kept or was able to keep, but I have since misplaced it. So I feel really bad about misplacing that item, but it was nothing in the box.
Sure.
It's just, I remember, it brings up that memory or prompts that memory.
Yeah. It's okay, Luke. They're there. Luke's just on an adventure. He'll be back. Luke Skywalker's on an adventure. No, I understand, like, that lost toy. But again, yeah, the memories are still there, and you know, they are just things. But those things have the physical, tangible aspect of those toys. You know, it's really, really special. And one of the things I see as an adult is, you know, passing on those adventures to other children. And, you know, I do a weed or a purge, you know, here and there, and I go, you know what? You know, this is something we need to pass on. And I encourage that with my children, too. Is to, you know, you've had those adventures, and, you know, there's certain things you might want to hang on to with special value, but, you know, if there's something that's not super important to you, let's move it on, you know, donate it, you know, pass it on to another child, give it to a friend, or, you know, pass on those adventures. They're like books. You know, if you read a book, you know, you have those certain ones you want to keep forever just because of that tangible value. You may never read it again, but you look at that book, you see that, and it sparks that memory. But toys have similar power to books, that they, you know, they have a physical element. They have words and meaning behind them. And it's pretty cool. I always love that aspect of toys as a librarian. It's a very similar aspect.
You know, George, one thing I thought about once we got the makerspace,
I
was thinking about that in relationship to toys and how you lost the accessories that came with the toy. I lost half of He-Man's sword or a belt or something. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, nowadays you can go and go to our library and 3D print yourself a new sword.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yeah, all those little tiny, you know, monocolored, you know, accessory packs, like, you know, like, oh man, there's his briefcase or his backpack, and you know, that's a great idea.
That shoots out of the arm.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Never thought about that. That's great. I have used the makerspace for some model railroading and some toy train stuff, which is great because there's a huge community out there. But yeah, I bet you there's probably CAD information and design information for, you know, replacement lost parts. That's lost a great idea.
Action figures, yeah. So what have you watched anything lately that you're particularly interested in? Have you been are you a Mandalorian guy?
I am. This is the way. I totally love Mando. I just thought about this that got me thinking about the toy line stuff. I'm loving HBO's Watchmen.
Okay.
The series. Wonderful Miller's graphic novel series based on a graphic novel series. Now this is totally adult, but right. I'm waiting for a child's line of toys to come out. But with the irony, of course, it is it's kind of the antithesis of a superhero movie. The Miller was kind of anti-hero, the superhero, the all important person above humans aspect in the comic books. But yeah, that's one thing I was like, oh wait, no, I haven't seen many Watchmen and toys, because the subject matter is so deep and it's so dark and so adult oriented. And of course, like, there's the Boys on Amazon Prime has the Boys series, which is another anti-against superhero aspect. I haven't seen any toys there yet. But again, we were just talking about Rambo and Predator. It's like, where there's cash, there's a dash. Maybe they'll make boys. And of course, there's, as you know, Luke, there's the whole lines of toys aimed at adults. You know, there's adult action figures. They are marketed. They're $50 a pop, you know.
Yeah, McFarlane stuff.
McFarlane stuff. That's always interesting. But yeah, I'm really liking The Watchmen right now. I love the storytelling, the writing. There is a lot of adult language, I love that for adults. It's really interesting to go, wait, this, people are anti-superhero. It blows some people's minds of to think philosophically, you know, should there be a person that is basically a god? You know, should there be a person that can turn into a god with superpowers based on science? You know, it's like, wow, there's a lot of moral questions there that makes people think about that. But what about you, Luke? What are you watching right now?
I have not started the new season of The Mandalorian yet. I do plan on it. Well, we just watched the Peanuts holiday special, the original Peanuts holiday special.
I love the adults. That's so great. I love that from the kid's perspective.
They're just jabbering.
Yeah.
Watch The Grinch. We watched a few classics, I guess. Or the Muppets movie, the original Muppets movie. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. I watched, that is one that I absolutely adore, and I watch every single year.
Yeah, same.
And it holds up. Nothing is lost. Very, very sweet, sweet movie with a sweet message.
I agree. Yeah, it's kind of a hidden gem, semi-cult following for that movie. But yeah, if folks out there haven't seen that, the music is wonderful. They finally released the music in digital audio files just two or three years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was not released LP or nothing. It was just a HBO special, I believe, in the 80s. And the music is outstanding. And the CD was just released a couple years ago. And I was so excited. I got it immediately and listened to it over and over again. But it's funny because some of the music in that special is so great. Very, very wonderful.
I might have to add that to my Christmas list this year.
Yeah. The album, it's just wonderful. Yeah. Oh, I did just watch The Christmas Chronicles with Kurt Russell as Santa.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn is...
Goldie Hawn. The sequel was really good. That's where, spoiler alert, the Christmas Chronicles 2 is where my boys asked me if Santa, or they suggested Santa was a Jedi. So when you see the movie, if you see it, you will pee your pants laughing, going, oh my gosh, my mind is blown. Santa is a Jedi. So,
I will be watching that with that in mind.
Yeah, Kurt Russell's really good. I mean, a lot of the Santa Claus, the movie from the 80s, you know, there's all these these classic Santa Clauses. And, you know, even Tim Allen's version was very interesting, but Kurt Russell kind of brings this grittiness that, you know, he goes, oh, that's a myth, you know, and his Kurt, I don't go ho, 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 you know, in his Kurt Russell way. That really, it's funny. It brings a funny dynamic for adults, but the kids still enjoy it as well, even though they don't look at him as an Escape from L.A. Kurt Russell or Big Trouble in Little China. Yes. Oh, my gosh. But it's very multi-generational fun for sure.
I guess there is one other Christmas offering that I do watch annually. My wife has not allowed me to view this quite yet this year, but I plan on watching the infamous Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh my goodness.
I cannot tell you where to obtain Star Wars Christmas special. But if you can get your hands on it, you're really
I've only seen it once, and I saw it once. And I said, I will see this once. And that was it. Because I didn't want to ruin it. Sounds weird. I didn't want to ruin the experience of watching it again. I said, nope, that's it. I watched it once and I'm going to remember it forever. And yeah, I agree.
I can guarantee you'll remember it forever. And you'll probably be more apt to not watch it ever again as George did.
Luke is very, very loyal. That one. Well, on a modern take, the Lego's holiday, I think, or winter holiday special, Lego Star Wars holiday special was just released. It's outstanding. It is just poking fun at George Lucas, inside jokes. The adult, you know, the generational jokes are hilarious. I was laughing. It's only about, 38 minutes. It's not too long. It is funny. Funny. I loved how the, of course, licensing Lego really did a wonderful job with integrating Star Wars in a humorous way. So that kind of likens me to, they made it funny on purpose, unlike the original Star Wars holiday special was hilarious unintentionally. But that was great. I highly suggest that the Lego's holiday. I think it's called Holiday Special.
And Disney, that's a Disney Plus, right?
That's a Disney Pluser. It's pretty good. And what I do love a lot about, you know, these, a lot of them are coming out on DVD. So, you know, check out DelawareLibrary.org. You know, check out some of these fun specials we're talking about. Not the Star Wars holiday special.
We don't have that.
Don't have that. I'm sure it's in a vault in the New York Public Library somewhere. But they take it out once a year, too, to watch, I'm sure. Oh, man. Oh, goodness. Ooh, fun stuff.
Well, thanks, George, for joining me. It's been an excellent episode. I'm glad we could talk about how toys help with early literacy.
You bet.
And just have a little holiday fun here. I hope this maybe cheers some people up. And have fun, everybody, this holiday season. Stay safe.
You bet. Stay safe. And when your kids are playing with that toy and making up stories and you go, what are they doing? What they're doing is writing a book. They are telling a story. It has a beginning, a muddle, and an end. And that is healthy and good for your children. Let them play. Let them grow. The future will be bright, I promise.
I agree.
We'll just chat later again. We'll keep talking toys on our own anyway.
Right. Join us next time for Library Guys Go to the Movies. For more information on any of the films or digital services we've discussed, please visit DelawareLibrary.org.